for his prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly, reverently come before thee in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing, Father, that you are wrapping up your time with the Gentiles. You're moving, Father, from the shout into the time or the season of the resurrection, which is the voice, knowing that it's the same voice, it's the same shout, it's the same God, it's the same you, Lord, your word, that is moving from one facet to another. We just pray, Father, that we be so caught up into the flow that it would just take us over. As Brother Vail used to quote, water up to the knees, water up to the thighs, and water to carry us over. And so, Lord, we just pray that your washing of water of the word would carry us right into the resurrection season. And this, Father, may it be our all in all, may it be our every thought of every day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Well, this will be number 4 in our series, Satan's Eden. And I've entitled this Three Kind of Believers, Part 1, and The Unbeliever and His Judgment is the subtitle. Now, this morning, we'll move on to paragraph number 2 in Brother Graham's sermon, Satan's Eden. And here he speaks about Brother Neville's sermon that he so enjoyed. He says, I'll try to be briefly tonight because I know many has come from different sections of the country for the service or stayed over, some of you, and have to go back for maybe a way to get back, and I thank you. And this morning I want to hear Brother Neville myself. I heard him many times and heard him any time, but what I appreciated him. But this morning, that timely message. I know I had the leading of the Lord to listen to that this morning. Very fine, and I see why you people like to come and listen to him also. And he will always do you good, I'm sure, to listen to him. Now, these comments might fly in the fact of those people who would walk out when Brother Neville or Brother Collins would get up to speak. But there's always been those people who cannot walk a balanced line and who have a poor manner, such as those who come in late, usually after the song service is over, are mostly finished, and those who leave before the sermon is finished. But just remember in John 13, which we read every communion service, that it was Judas who was the first one to leave. In fact, sometimes they would get up when Brother Collins would walk up to the pulpit, and he was going to, he just decided he was going to step down, and Brother Bram called him. Now, Brother Bram was in Tucson, Arizona at the time, and he called and he said, "Now, Brother Willard," he said, "what are you up to?" And because Brother Collins was typing up his resignation, and he said, "No, nothing, Brother Branham." He said, "Now, Brother Willard," he said, "you know, you just tell me the truth." And he said, "Well, Brother Branham," he said, "I'm turning in my resignation. I'm typing it up." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because Brother Branham, every time I get up to preach," he said, "several families get up and they walk out of the church." And he said, "I don't want to be responsible for anybody leaving the church." And Brother Branham said, "Now," he said, "you let them go." He said, "They went out from among us because they're not of us. Had they been of us, they would no doubt have remained with us." So Brother Ram said, "Just let them go." And it quotes John in 1 John. And that should be our attitude as well. And we've had plenty of people come and go over the years, but we must stay with what the Bible teaches us. And it says they went out from among us because they were not of us. Now, they can use whatever excuse they wish, but either we believe the word or we don't. It is one thing to leave a church because they're not teaching the truth. It's another to leave over personality conflicts. We should be so far above that by now as we approach the resurrection season. Now, people left here because they did not belong here, and they had differences, and they believed differently. And if you cannot agree with William Branham as a vindicated prophet, then this church certainly is not for you. A church is not supposed to be a hodgepodge of beliefs and thus believers. We are supposed to gather with brethren of like precious faith. Now, I've known over the years, I've known people over the years who always come into church and took their seat long after the service was over. In fact, sometimes they waited till after the song service was over because they didn't like the song leader. Now, to me, that's just political gamesmanship, and it should never be seen in the house of God. We don't come to church to be seen. We come to church to worship God. And I'm not casting aspersion against those people, but Brother Bram says, when you act like that, you put the Holy Ghost outside. and that he takes flight and he waits for you to get right back in line with him. In fact, whether Brother Branham was preaching or not, he always wanted his family in church each Sunday. One time in Tucson, when he had no church down there, but went there because God had told him to go to Tucson, Brother Vail was standing in the living room when the Holy Spirit appeared to Brother Branham and wrote on the wall. He says, go west. And so Brother Branham asked Brother Vail, said, did you see him? He said, nope. But he said, I saw one who did. Because he said Brother Branham's whiskers were standing straight up like a scared, not hunted animal. Anyway, this is one particular morning. Brother Branham was rousing up everyone to get them ready for church. And Billy Paul said, oh, I'm not going to church. And Brother Branham said, you are going to church. And Billy said, why, Dad? He said, the church doesn't even acknowledge you. And Brother Branham told him, he said, we don't go to church to be seen or acknowledged. We go to worship God. So the first thing we should do when we take inventory of ourselves is to ask ourselves, why do I go to church? For there are two main reasons we go to church. And number one is to worship God in spirit and in truth. Number two, but not in that order, is to receive the Word of God for correction and righteousness, which is our right wiseness. Now, we find that in 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in right wiseness. That means instruction in how to be rightly wise. That the man of God may be perfect, that means fully mature and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, that is what gets us ready for the resurrection and rapture. It is not what you do, but it is His Word working mightily in you. And we sing the song, His Word is working mightily in me. His Word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstance or what I feel or see, His Word is working mightily in me. And that song is based on what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 1:29, whereunto all I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Remember, this is the same apostle who said in Philippians 2:13 that it is God who worketh in us, both to will and to do His good pleasure. But can you imagine coming into God's house with a chip on your shoulder, the great judge of all the earth, and think that it's okay to hold an attitude when you come to worship Him? You know, He is a God who can see He can see right through your soul. He knows your attitudes. I know a fellow who's left several times from a church because he thought bad about a certain brother in the church. Well, when you are that weak in your faith, and I spelt it wrong, but anyway, it's W-E-A-K. But when you're that weak in your faith as you to let someone get between you and God, you're not in a very good position. And so finally he left the church. My mother-in-law used to say, if you let anyone get between you and God, that person is closer to God than you are. Now think about it. Steve, you're closer to me right now than Brother Don because he's behind you, right? So if you let somebody get between you and God, that person is closer to God than you are. All right? Now from his sermon, Three Kinds of Believers, Brother Brown said, now if I should call this a subject for tonight and try my best to make that half-hour count, I want to talk on three kinds of believers. And I've often made the statement, I thought, well, I just believe I'll preach on it one time this afternoon. I thought that. The first is believers, make believers, and unbelievers. Now, that is quite a subject, but as sure as we sit here tonight, that group is always gathered together. Wherever the people gather, we find this group and always have found them, and we probably always will have them until the coming of the Lord. I want us tonight to picture ourselves as I speak of these three groups and see what group that we're in. Now, remember, I'm speaking here to maybe this church packed again tonight around in the walls of the corridors, but I'm also speaking the world around, see? And all different parts of the world, these tapes circulate through ministries of the tapes. So that tells us that all three kinds of believers, even are among those who are just tape believers. Now, from his sermon, Three Kinds of Believers, Brother Branham said, Ahab was an unbeliever, though he acted like he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He was amongst the believers, but he was an unbeliever. So where are you going to find the unbeliever? You're going to find him amongst the believers. Now, what did he do? He married an idolater and brought idolatry right into Israel. He was an unbeliever. We know that. They deny the whole of the Word of God to be true. The unbeliever is. See? Now remember, he's a hypocrite, and he acts like that he will, says he believes it, but he denies it. He said, well, so much of it is well, but if all of it isn't right, then that makes him an unbeliever. You've got to believe every tittle and every jot and everything that's said in there. It's got to be true. If it isn't true, if you say, well, I don't know that, I don't believe that, well,
then you're an unbeliever.
So if there's any portion of the scripture that says, that you say, well, you know, I don't know about that. He says, you're an unbeliever. Well, what about John 14:12? What does it make people that don't believe John 14:12 is for everybody? Unbelievers. What about Mark 16? Unbelievers. What about 1 Timothy 4? Well, we're going to read that in just a minute. But what about 1 Timothy 4? Where they don't eat meat. Unbelievers. All right? Now, 2 Timothy 3:1 tells us, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, where men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent and fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. And people say, well, see, Brother Rab, that speaks of the communists. That's not communists, that's church people. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power, John 14:12, Mark 16, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, the houses of God, and lead captive silly women, churches, women represents churches, laden with sins or unbelief, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, how did they withstand Moses? They did the same stuff he did. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, the revelation of Christ. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity and patience, and my persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given then by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in right wiseness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, the revelation. And what is the cause of them leaving? He says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, telling you one thing, doing another, having their consciences seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats. Now, one of the brothers said, well, you know, that's just, that's not the end time. You know, that's just, yes, it is the end time. I'm sorry, the Catholic Church might have done it through the church ages, and, you know, and you don't eat meat, you know, you can eat meat except for on Friday, and, you know, you can't marry, the priest can't marry, whatever. But at the very end time, to do this shows that you're listening to doctrines of devils. All right? Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused. Nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Like I remember back when this kind of thing was going on in the church, and there was some brothers over there in Congo, and we were in Douala, Congo. I was preaching to about 90 ministers. And so a question and answers came up, and some of the brothers, one of the questions was, well, now that we believe the doctrine, and we believe Christ is here, and you know, we believe the doctrine of Christ, is it permissible to eat snake? And I just started laughing. They said, well, what are you laughing about? I said, because back home, I said, there's people that think that we're not supposed to eat meat because of the poisons in the meat. But Paul says here, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. That's your key right there, brother, sister. If it be received with thanksgiving. And that is the key because that's your motive. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I remember in He Cares, You Care, Brother Rand was talking about all the hybrid stuff and all the poisons they're putting in the animals. And he said, it's all gone. And you say, well, what do I do, Brother Bram? He said, just pray over it. Like the Bible says, pray over it and then eat it. I remember telling Brother Bale, so I'm sitting at the table. I said, you know what? I said, I don't care if all the meat in the world is filled with whatever chemicals man has put into it. I said, I'm going to still eat meat because if I don't, I'd be marked as one of those people that don't eat meat. So I'll pray over it and eat it. Now, he says, it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now, the Apostle Paul also said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So we're talking about the appearing of the Lord. That's this hour, the parousia. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Now, the word instant means to be present and take a stand. To be present and take a stand. Don't run away from the conflict. Take your stand. Stand there. When I've done all I can do to stand, stand. All right? So that's what we're all commanded to do. Preach the word, be instant, take our stand. Be present and take our stand in season and out of season. All right. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And Brother Bram said, this scripture came to him that he was to do the work of an evangelist. But he said, notice, it said do the work of an evangelist, but it didn't say you're an evangelist. All right? Okay. Well, that's for everybody as well. All of you, you're to do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof. Doesn't mean you're an evangelist. Doesn't mean you're a fivefold minister. But it means that you're going to take every opportunity you can to try to get somebody saved. Now, Brother Rand gives us an example of an unbeliever in a sermon, Remembering the Lord, where he speaks of Judas Iscariot. What about Judas Iscariot, he says? He's got something to remember too. Judas has got something he's remembering tonight. Certainly he is. He'll always remember it. Certainly. Why? He sold the Lord Jesus for personal gain. I wonder tonight if there isn't many doing that same thing today, selling your birthright for personal gain when you should be on fire for Christ. Now, you can't tell me people that don't hold a church service are on fire for Christ. When they say that everybody in the church has got to have the jab or we're not going to have service, you're not on fire for Christ. It's personal gain because you're still getting your tithe. You should tell the people, look, I'm not going to want your tithe. Wherever you can get food from, you pay your tithes there. But I'm not going to give you food because I'm afraid of this thing. So therefore, stay home unless you got the jab. In fact, everybody, we're not going to have service unless everybody gets a jab. So I'm not going to take your tithes. Well, if he did that, then I'd say, okay. He's just afraid. He's just a fearful person. But at least he's not out for personal gain. But when you continue to have the people, well, just send your cards and letters and a little bit something in them, you know. To me, it's exactly what Brother Brown says. He sold the Lord Jesus for personal gain. I wonder tonight if there isn't many doing that same thing today, selling your birthright for personal gain when you should be on fire for Christ. When you should be doing something for him, working for him, or something, you go join somewhere where you can live any old way that you want to and still claim to be a Christian. That's what the world is looking for tonight. The world, I said, not the believer. The believer is looking for every straight road he can walk in to get right. But the unbeliever is wanting somewhere where he can go and just maintain his profession as a Christian and then just live any way he wants to. That's what this nation wanted for a president, and that's what they got. That's exactly. That's what the church wants. That's what they got. Yes, sir, that's what you get. That's why, you know, sometimes you hear me and I sound like I'm angry. I'm not angry with you and I'm not angry with the people. I'm angry with the attitude of a person who claims to believe the message and yet lives in adultery or is fornicating or is mingling with the world. You know, like Brother Branham said, they're singing in the bars on Friday night and they're singing in the choir on Sunday. You know, there just seems to be a preeminent atmosphere or attitude among so many who claim to believe the message, and yet they don't. Because if you don't in one portion of your life, you don't believe. You just don't believe. You know, that's why people are having trouble with this jab thing, because they've got televisions in their home, and they're watching the news. And the news is just pumping them with propaganda all day. You know, this 24/7 is propaganda, 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 and the prophets get the television out of the house. Well, what am I going to listen to? Listen to tapes. It'll put you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Have your children listen to those tapes, and they'll get to the point where they don't even want to go to sleep until you put the tape on. There's so much comfort in that voice. No matter what age you are, there's something special about that voice that God used and God spoke through. And from a sermon, God perfecting His church, He said, now look, the first thing when you hear when you're going out of this line now, get this straight, here's where the mortals live. A whole conglomeration is blackness and darkness. And in there is little lights placed now and then. That's Christians born again of light. You are a light that is set on a hill, a candle that is set in the room and gives light to all the room. That's what Christian is amongst darkness. You're supposed to shine where it's dark. Now notice, the wicked or the unbeliever is influenced from beneath. Well, what is television? It's from beneath. It's Satan's kingdom. That's what we're talking about, Satan's Eden. There is a trinity of hell like there's a trinity of heaven. They are influenced by evil powers. Notice, the first thing when you start down, the first thing you find is a realm here that's got the unsaved in. That's right. That's where Jesus went and preached to the souls that were in prison that repented not in the long suffering of Noah. The next is demons, and the next is hell itself. The world is influenced by these demon powers through this trinity, and Christians are influenced by a spirit too, the Holy Spirit. Now, when he says the unbeliever is influenced from beneath, he's talking about Satan and his kingdom. So influence comes via visions. And I'm going to tell you, Satan's, his way to influence the people is a trinity. It's television, channels, and programming. We are influenced either by a vision from above or a vision from beneath. Tell a vision, and so we ask whose vision is being told. It certainly is not God's vision. And have you ever noticed that people want to get their news from the tell a vision, but whose vision are they listening to or watching? It's not God's, it's Satan's Eden. It's the beast system. And have you noticed they break down the telling of a vision into channels? And we know that is the same language that mediums and witches use when channeling a seance with the dead. You know, the only difference between CNN and MSNBC and ABC and CBS and all these channels is the personalities that are telling the same story. You know, you got the woman lesbian that's got shorter hair than Brother Don. I can't say shorter than mine because I don't have any on top. But... and then you got the lesbian black man on CNN, and you got the lesbian, I guess he's a homosexual, but you might as well be a lesbian because he acts like one. And then you got the white guy with the white hair on CNN that he's a homosexual. They're all homosexuals. And you think they're going to tell you a truth when they can't even live it? No, but that's their channel. All right? And we know that is the same language that mediums and witches use when channeling a seance with the dead. So they tell a vision using channels, but the only thing I have, they're using the same vision from beneath on every channel. The same story. Remember when I showed you 30 plus news stations saying the exact same thing in declaring the news for the day, and the person that put together the video actually got each one lined up audio-wise to where you could hear like a thousand voices saying the same thing. I mean, at least 32 voices saying the same thing, because there's 32 different news channels saying the very same thing. That sounds odd to me. But it's not, because there are influences from below. All right? So why would they do that? It's called programming. Television using channels in order to program the people into certain mindset. That's what cults do when they program people into their vision. So why do you think our prophet warned us to get the television out from the house? People listen to the news and they're told that COVID will kill you, but if you get the jab, you will live. And that's the exact same lie the devil told Eve in the garden. You shall not surely die. And people are falling for the same lie all over again because they have a choice. Either listen to the tapes of a vindicated prophet of God who is the voice of God to this generation and live, or listen to the tell a vision and die. So what do? By their fruits you shall know them. They choose to listen to the tell a vision instead of the word of God through a vindicated prophet of God. And you know what? They are now being punished for their unbelief, and this is only the first vial that has been opened. And there are six more vials that are on their way. The death march has begun, and by this winter we'll be seeing millions of people dying, because the day you eat thereof, that day you shall surely die. And Luc Montagnier, who is a Nobel Prize for Medicine, when he was able to isolate the HIV in 2008, he said every person that takes this jab will die within 2 years. He said that's what mRNA will do to people. Not just because it's this mRNA vaccine, because that's what all mRNA vaccines, and even the guy who invented the mRNA said it's going to kill them. So why wouldn't they listen to the guys who know instead of the fruitcakes on CNN, NBC, MSNBC, and the rest of them? Bunch of idiots. Bunch of idiots. They are just really dumbed down people. Now, but God is going to punish everyone who does not have the Holy Ghost and is coming through the vial. So what he said, that's what the Bible tells us. When the first vial was opened, what did it do? I'm going to read you what it did. They're now being punished for their unbelief, and this is only the first vial that has been opened, and there are six more vials to be opened. The death march has begun, and as I said, by this winter you're going to see millions of people die. In fact, in the Revelation chapter 16, 1 to 2, we read, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth." Now, what do vaccines come in? Vials. Huh? "Pour out the vials of wrath of God. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast." So they already had the mark of the beast. So the vial that was poured out isn't the mark of the beast, but it lets you know who he is when these things happen. "And upon them which worshipped his image," and the image, Brother Brown told us, is the World Council of Churches. The beast is Rome's system. The World Council of Churches is the image. And we know the image of the beast is the Council of Churches. So from Broken Sisters, Brother Brown said, "And it's a strange thing that this United States appears on the scene. And it's like a lamb. And the lamb has two small horns, civil and ecclesiastical rights. And after a while, when he was a lamb, we found out that it spoke like a dragon and exercised all the power the dragon had before it. And the Bible tells us that that they said, let us make an image unto the beast." An image is something like something else. And we can see it right now that it is in its apostate condition, the church is forming the World Council of Churches, which is the image to the power of Rome, and will force upon the people the same thing that Papal Rome did. So there's no other way, no other thing, but that is the truth, and that is why I'm striking it in my age, in my time, is because it's got to be struck at. The call come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. Now, again, from looking away to Jesus. Now, remember, Revelation 17, you have the beast, the woman sitting on the beast, okay, which is Rome, that went from Papal Rome went from pagan Rome to Papal Rome. Then you have another beast rise up and exercises all the power of the first beast. That's the United States doing the same thing. Who's pushing the vaccines? Fauci and his brigade. All right? The United States Health Authority? Give me a break. Stupid people. Really stupid people, although they're greedy because they're only doing it for money. Fauci has something like 600 patents. Well, he's making money from all these things that he dictates that you have to take. All right? The man's a criminal. They're all criminals. And they will answer at the white throne. But from looking away to Jesus, Brother Anderson, there's coming a time upon in this nation to where this nation is going to exercise all the power that the beast had before, which was pagan Rome, when it became papal Rome. See? That this nation will do that. Revelation 13 plainly explains it. The Lamb came up out of the earth. The other beast came up out of water, thickness, and multitudes of people. This Lamb came up where there was no people. A Lamb represents religion, the Lamb of God. And remember, it spoke like a Lamb. It spoke like a Lamb. It was a Lamb. And then after a while, it received power and spoke like a dragon and exercised all the power that the dragon had before him. And the dragon is Rome always. Now, I believe that happened during the Roosevelt administration, which was around Brother Branham when the angel came. All right? I believe at that point, just like when Judas took the sop, he went out and Satan became into him. I believe that through the Roosevelt administration and on thereon, you can see where America has drifted away from Christianity. All right? Now, so don't you see Roman denomination, a marked Protestant denomination, an image under the beast, making a power that will force all Protestants like a union. You'll have to be into this council of churches or you won't be able to have fellowship. Well, it's practically that way now. You can't go to church and preach unless you have a fellowship card or some identification. And then from world, again, falling apart, Brother Ram said, that denominational system is the mark of the beast. You've known it. You never heard me say it before, but that's the reason I've racked it so hard. Because now I think the time just about finished, so might as well let it come forth and tell the truth about it. There she is. That's the marking of the beast, exactly. Rome was the beast, and she was denomination, the first organization, and we come out of her, we Pentecostal people, to not be partakers of it, and turned right like a dog to its vomit and a hog to its wallow, right back in it. No wonder our Pentecostal system is done, and so is the Methodist, Baptist, World Council of Churches and all. They're being swallowed up in the Council of Churches, marking a mark or an image unto the beast to give it its power. And it had a head wounded unto death and then lived, pagan Rome to papal Rome. Oh my, how blind has Protestants been. And here you are right now, sitting right in the midst of it, and there's nothing you can do now. The system's done formed. They'll take it and don't know that they've took it. They'll take it and don't know that they've took it. And from Satan's Eden, Brother Branham, later on, we're going to find, he says, they're worshiping Satan now, but they don't know it. They'll just be in there. That's all. They can't get out from it. It's already done. And we see the punishment of all who take the mark. So the punishment is not the mark, but it's an evidence of the mark is there. The punishment of all those who take the mark, Revelation 16:1-2. There's your mark of the beast in action and influence. Choosing what man says above what God says. And notice, all who have the mark of the beast, the plagues will pour out upon them a noisome and grievous sore. And the Bible tells us it's contained in a vial. Oh my. How specific God's word is. Germ warfare, and they willingly take it. Why? Because they listen to the words of a man rather than the word of God. They worship man's word over God's word. So we see they will all receive a noisome and grievous sore. And what causes this? He said, it is a vial of plagues being opened up upon all who worship the image of the beast, which is the World Council of Churches, and all who have taken the mark of the beast, which is the Roman organizational system of unbelief, listening to words of man and his science, so-called, instead of the word of God. You know, the Apostle Paul warned us of this so-called science, and he told us to avoid it. 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. And what is that? It's the word of God. avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Avoid it. But people say, oh, the science says it, so I believe it. What about the Word of God says no, and so I believe it? Huh? Oppositions of science, which is falsely called science, but it is nothing but a political argument. And so, what is a noisome and grievous sore? Well, the word noisome was translated from the Greek word kekos, which means worthless. Worthless. Their worship is worthless. Their worship produced in them is worthless. It's bad, it's evil, it's harmful, and wicked and grievous sore, he says. Now, the word grievous was translated from the Greek word poneros, which indicates degeneracy. Oh my, what does the word degeneracy tell you? This Greek word poneros speaks of an evil in effect or influence and differs from other Greek words for evil, which have to do with the essential character, as well as speaking of degeneracy. Now, those who do not know degeneracy, it speaks of deterioration. Degeneracy is deterioration. From the medical dictionary, degeneracy means to change from a higher to a lower form. In other words, from a human to a subhuman. In other words, from a healthy skin to a rotting skin, to an ulcerated skin. Especially change of tissue to a lower or less functionally active form. When there is chemical change of the tissue itself, it is true degeneration. So we're looking at the organs and the degeneration of the organs, and that is what is in this sore. Now, that's only the word grievous. What about the word sore? When the change consists in the deposits of abnormal matter in the tissues, it is infiltration. The adjective is degenerative. So you have chemical deposits in the tissues, in the cells, like graphene, like luciferin. And when the word sore, or sores in the Greek is helpos, which speaks of ulcers or ulcerated, degenerated tissues. And what causes this? Well, the medical online dictionary says degeneracy means to change from a higher to a lower form. How does that happen? Especially change of tissue to a lower or less functionality or active form. How does this happen? When there is chemical change of the tissue itself, it is true degeneration. When the change consists in the deposit of abnormal matter in the tissues, it is infiltration, and the adjective is degenerative. So when people open themselves up to be injected by a vial, Revelation 16:1, full of toxic material such as graphene oxide and luciferin, and whatever other toxic chemicals they have inserted into this medical procedure they call a vaccine, which is not a vaccine, and because of the gullibility of them that are in the act of perishing, as Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2, we are seeing millions of people around the world with a condition referred to as thrombosis, which is a lowering of the blood platelet counts and causing blood clots in all the organs of the brain, of the body, from the brain lining to the heart lining to the lung lining to the kidneys, the liver, and the uterus wall lining, as well as lowering the sperm count. And the largest organ of all is the skin. And here are some pictures of what this jab is producing in the body, which is perfectly described in the Word of God. Revelation 16:2, ulcerated lesions caused by blood clotting. Coronavirus vaccination may be the cause of rare blood disorders in people. That's the headline. Here's a picture. This woman, I don't know if you can see how she just got these ulcerations all over the body, blood clotting, all over the skin. That's an organ. Revelation 16:1, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vial, the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome, jacobs, and injurious and grievous. The word poneros speaks of hurtful and diseased, but most often is used of the character, i.e. the essential character, indicating a degeneracy from its original virtue, sore, which is helkos, ulcer, upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped their denominations. The image. thrombocytopenia is an abnormal decrease in the number of blood platelets following Pfizer and Moderna SARS vaccination. That is another headline. Thrombocytopenia and following Pfizer and Moderna SARS vaccination. You see the pictures here of the man all over his back, the legs, and all of his different, look at different patterns. Look at this pattern. Three rows down, three rows across. Isn't that strange? But that's exactly, and I didn't even see that till now, that's exactly the pattern of the breastplate of Satan. The breastplate of Aaron had three across, but had four rows down. The breastplate of Satan had three, three, and three. It was missing one entire row, and I've gone over that in a sermon before. You know, that row is the amethyst, which is the color of the grape, and it stands for the stimulation of revelation. Satan didn't have that in his breastplate. And then you have the agate, which is the bloodstone, and Satan didn't have that in his either because he didn't have the blood. And then the third one was a jacinth, which was the what they used to impress to make a seal. So he didn't have the seals. He didn't have the seals. He didn't have the blood. He didn't have the stimulation of revelation. So he has three. And notice, one, two, three, cross. One, two, three, down. Hallelujah. That's kind of interesting. Now I'm going to show you what is happening in the brain when the COVID shot is given in some. Now if you have a weak stomach, please close your eyes for the next few minutes because I'm going to show you an autopsy of the brain which had clots due to the COVID. Brother, would you put this screen right into the screen? And I'm going to have to put this into maybe I can click on it here.
Just a small camera.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm not connected. Well, okay. Any of you, I guess I can't show you, but basically, it's an autopsy, so you can just put it back, but basically, the link is there. Anybody wants to watch it, you can. Those that don't, you can be thankful the link that we're not connected to the internet in this. But basically, all right. Basically, when they cut this brain in half and they open it up, there is several blood clots the length of the brain, and they're about that round and about like a hot dog size. This is what's happening from the COVID shots. Not only the shot, but actually the COVID itself also has spike proteins, and the spike protein does that to all the organs. The only problem is that when you get the vaccine, it causes your body to produce its own spike proteins. So you may get a lot more spike proteins, and people are getting a lot more spike proteins from the jab than they are from the actual virus. Now, the great thing is that the Japanese have just discovered, they did a research, and they discovered a certain thing, and I'll talk to you in private about it, but that thing will actually dissolve or actually annihilate the spike proteins because of the oxygen in it. Now, that takes take that, which you would have seen, times millions who have clots in the uterus, lungs, kidney, liver, and other various organs of the body. And what you're seeing is the plague when the first vial was opened to punish those whose worship of the beast and his image. From Insider Magazine, in an article written by Dr. Catherine Schuster Bruce, May 4th of 2021, she said Denmark bans Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine, citing the risk of rare blood clots. Denmark banned Johnson & Johnson vaccine on Monday. Authorities said the risk of unusual blood clots as a side effect outweighed the shot's benefits. From the CDC's own website, local reactions, systemic reactions, adverse events, and serious adverse events, Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine. Local reaction among all studied vaccine recipients asked to complete diaries of their symptoms during the 7 days after the vaccination, 84.7% reported at least one local injection site reaction. By age, 88.7% in the younger group aged 18 to 55 and 79.7% in the older group aged 55 plus reported at least one local reaction. From Market Watch, we see this article. Blood clots is prevalent with Pfizer and Moderna vaccine as with AstraZeneca. That's three out of the four. And we know Johnson & Johnson also. All right, that was April 15, 2021. And from Yahoo Life, we read, if you feel this after the COVID vaccine, you may have blood clots. From Leah Goth, April 13th. So the Center for Disease Control and Prevention of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration yesterday released a joint statement on reports that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine can provoke cerebral venous sinus thrombosis, a rare blood clotting condition that can be deadly. And from Consumer Affairs Online, coronavirus update, new clues about vaccine-induced blood clot studies bolster vaccine. Confidence? Right. From CNBC, Health and Science. You know, it's like to say, well, the side effect, yeah, it could even be death. Brother Peter shared that one with me. Yeah, it can even cause death, but the benefits is far outweighs the risk. What? You could die and the side effects far outweighs the risk? Have you ever noticed Big Pharma? They push these drugs and they say, you know, if you've got acid reflux, if you take this thing, it'll, you know, help you with your acid reflux. And then, like somebody speaking in tongues only, if you've ever been to an auction, you know, blah, 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 right? You know, better, 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 make it better, you know. And so they say this whole line of side effects, including death. Are people that dumb? Or can't they listen that fast? It's like a small print on these things. And people take that stuff anyway? I don't understand people. They listen to doctors who are quacks. Bunch of quacks. I spent 10 years at Children's Hospital, and I found that only about 20% of them actually had a rational mind. The rest of them just did whatever the book said. That's it. Idiots. Oh, you shouldn't use that word. Why not? That's what they are. They're ignorant. They're ignoramuses of anything other than what they've been taught. All right. From CNBC, Health and Science. The FDA adds warnings about rare heart inflammation to Pfizer, Moderna, COVID vaccines. Published Saturday, June 26, 2019. All right. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration on Friday added a warning to patient and provider fact sheets for the Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines to indicate a rare risk of heart inflammation. For each vaccine, the fact sheets were revised to include a warning about myocarditis and pericarditis after the second dose, and with the onset of symptoms within a few days after receiving the shot. Health officials said the benefits of receiving the vaccine still outweigh any risk. There have been just 12.6 heart inflammation cases per million doses for both vaccine contained. The Jerusalem Post, it says, Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine linked to rare blood diseases, Israeli study. A spokesperson from Shamir Medical Center stressed that the study of Pfizer coronavirus vaccine connection to a rare disease should not deter vaccinations. They study and they find all these things, oh, but it's okay because, the heads to be say we should take it anyway. PBS, why would a COVID vaccine cause rare blood clots? Researchers have found clues. From Health. Okay, from Newsweek, COVID vaccine blood clot risk explained as shot blamed for BBC host Lisa Shaw's death. All right, article by whoever. Scientists warn that the mRNA vaccine developed by Pfizer and Moderna are causing blood clots. News, scientists warn that the Wuhan coronavirus vaccine sold by Pfizer and Moderna can also cause blood clots. The two vaccines developed using messenger RNA technology have seen widespread use in many countries. Reports of the vaccine's deadly side effects emerged following bans on Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca's adenoviral vector vaccines, which were the first to be linked to blood clots. From CNN Health, doctors home in on cause of blood clots potentially linked with COVID-19 vaccines. Okay, CNN. Doctors say they are homing in on the cause of blood clots that may be linked with certain coronavirus vaccines, and adding their findings have important implications for how to treat the condition regardless of whether vaccines cause it. Even though the link is not yet firm, that's because they don't want it to be firm. They're denying the science, and they say they're pushing science. They're calling the condition vaccine-induced immune thrombocytopenia, or VITT. It's characterized by unusual blood clotting combined with a low number of blood clotting cells called platelets. Patients suffer from dangerous clots and sometimes hemorrhaging at the same time. It's been linked most firmly with the AstraZeneca coronavirus vaccine, which is in wide use in Europe and the UK. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Food and Drug Administration are checking to see if Johnson & Johnson's Janssen vaccine might cause the blood clots. Both AstraZeneca's vaccine and the J&J vaccine use common cold viruses called adenoviruses as a carrier, and some experts suspect that the body's response to those viral vectors might underlie the reaction. AstraZeneca's vaccine is not authorized in the U.S., From Forbes, we read graphene oxide in Pfizer COVID-19 vaccines by Bruce Lee. Not the karate guy, he's good, but this is a different guy. He says, yet there are now claims circulating that the Pfizer biotech COVID-19 vaccine is around 99% graphene oxide. This despite the fact that graphene oxide does not appear on either the FDA or CDC list. For example, an Instagram post included the following statement, 99% graphene oxide in Pfizer V4X. Spanish scientists obtained vial of Pfizer V4X in 3 and find that 98 to 99%. In this case, V4X presumably shorthand for vaccine rather than, don't read your last part, this is kind of perverted. But. As PolitiFact.com, a nonprofit project, operated by the Poynter Institute, described the post indicated that graphene oxide is toxic to the human body and causes a number of problems. A video accompanying the post featured someone named Dr. Jane Ruby. Ruby advanced claims that over 99% of Pfizer biotech vaccines consist of graphene oxide and that there is no other reason for this to be in here except to murder people. All right, rights and freedom. Pfizer COVID vaccines destroy every system of the human body, warns the Israeli health experts. The Israeli People's Committee, IPC, a citizen-led group of Israeli health experts, has published its April report issuing an urgent warning that the Pfizer biotech BioNTech vaccine damaged virtually every system in the body. Whilst most of the attention surrounding vaccines has been focused on the AstraZeneca jab, which is linked to deadly blood clots, the Pfizer injection is actually much more dangerous based on the latest data. The IPC's April report warns that being injected with the Pfizer vaccine could lead to a catastrophic health issues, which has been evidenced by the countless Israeli lives that have been damaged by the jab. The report states, never has a vaccine injured so many. We received 288 reports of death occurring in proximity to the vaccination, 90% up to 10 days after vaccination, 64% are men. However, Israel's Ministry of Health figures claims that only 45 deaths occurred in proximity to vaccination. As the report states, this smokescreen lack of transparency and deception only leads to more deaths. In other words, the government is not reporting everything. Just like VAERS. You can't go on to VAERS anymore and get the numbers. You used to be able to get them, but they were getting too bad. So they took them off. If the figures contained within the IPPC report are valid, then more Israelis have died from Pfizer jab than have Europeans from the AstraZeneca jab throughout the entirety of Europe. The report warns, according to the data from the Central Bureau of Statistics, CBS, during January, February 2021, in the midst of the vaccine operation, there are 22% increase in overall mortality in Israel compared to the bi-monthly average mortality in the previous year. In fact, the period of January to February 2021 is the deadliest one in the last decade, with the highest overall mortality rate when compared to the corresponding months over the last 10 years. The report highlights that younger people between the ages of 20-29 appear to be the demographic that saw the most dramatic increase in mortality following the rollout of the Pfizer vaccine. In this group, during the same vaccination period, January to February 2021, there has been a 32% increase in overall mortality compared to the bi-monthly average mortality in 2020. Well, they didn't have a vaccine in 2020. So the under vaccination is 32% more deaths than there is under the virus itself. Okay, so we could take another 10 hours of showing you headlines from around the world, which show this clotting is wide scale and a worldwide problem. What none of these articles do is tie it to the first vial being poured out in Revelation 16, 1-2. Isn't it interesting that the process that the Bible describes for the first plague is a vial poured upon all those who have the mark of the beast and worship or give a greater value to the image of the beast than the Word of God? And we see that the results of this scripture, as Brother Brand taught us, that God interprets His Word by bringing it to pass, that it is let loose upon those who have the mark. And isn't that exactly what we call the little glass tube that the vials, that the vaccines come in? Aren't they called vials? From investments, Brother Brown said, that's what makes the gospel today. It's the unusualness, because God is unusual. His word is interpreted unusual to what we sometimes have it interpreted. But as I've said before, God needs nobody to interpret His word. He does His own interpretation by bringing to pass the things that He said He would do. He interprets His own word. He doesn't need our interpretation. Our interpretation is our own man-made thoughts that we put to it. When God said, let there be light, there was light, and there needs no interpretation. God said, a virgin shall conceive, and she did. That doesn't need any interpretation. Jesus said, the Son of Man goes up to Jerusalem and be given into the hands of sinful men. They'll crucify Him, and on the third day He'll rise up again. That needs no interpretation. He said, a little while and the world seeth Me no more, yet ye shall see Me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the age, to the consummation. He's here. He doesn't need any interpretation. It's His promise. The works that I do shall He do also. He that believeth in Me, the works that I do shall He do also. That's found in St. John 14:12, and we know that that's true. So it doesn't need any interpretation. Okay? So we have seen the interpretation of Revelation 16:1-2, and we know the judgments are now in the earth. I didn't go into this, the next six vials, because they do not pertain unto us, as they will be during the time of the 3.5 years of tribulation. So this is a warning to you that the judgments are in the earth. Now remember, when Brother Brad threw the rock up in the air and it started that little whirlwind that took off the stones there in up in the hills in Tucson, and it went to the west coast, he said judgment will strike the west coast. But he said the judgments are now in the earth. Revelation 16 is in the earth. The vials have been opened. They've been injected. The people that have the mark are dying, having thrombosis. In closing, I want to leave you with the promise from Jesus Christ, as we see in Matthew 24:22, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Brother, sister, we don't have much time. It's time that you quit all the foolishness, all the little buying sprees, and all the little accumulating materialistic things, and get your eyes focused on getting out of here. Because you're not going to take anything with you, not even the clothes on your back. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You that You are the same. You changed not. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are not a man that You could lie. But what You have told us in Your word, we see it coming to pass. We know the time is at hand. Help us, Father, to just die to self. That's the only thing we can do. For it is You working in us to will and then to do. And it's not us doing, it's You doing in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So is there anything I can do to get ready for the rapture? Yeah, just die. yourself. And accepts, thus saith the Lord, as thus saith the Lord. Amen. Well, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep us. All right.